One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Opa!
Tikanete.
Welcome everybody to Stavi's World, 904-800 Stav. On this, I think this is Christmas Day, Eldis, isn't it? Christmas Day. Me and Mateo just woke up from our bunk beds. We unwrapped the presents under the tree. Eldis brought us some hot cocoa.
I finally got the Barbie I always wanted.
He finally got his Barbie dream house. I got a pocket. I don't want to say what it was this early in the episode.
For I got fear a Polly Pocket. You got a Mighty Max.
Yes. Oh, man. So we're just having a great time. Eldis cooked up a breakfast. It'd be great if we all lived in all our friends in bunk beds higher and higher.
I was going to say one building, but just a really tall room with a bunch of bunk beds.
With 14 bunk beds.
And I'm still at the bottom.
Yeah.
I get it.
Spiritually, Eldis is more of the bottom here, if not sexually. But yes, what a wonderful Christmas time. Do you remember, what is your favorite, childhood Christmas toy you ever got? Was there one that really sticks out?
Two. So, okay. Once I got a Maleficent, so they didn't make Maleficent action figures. Mm-hmm. I'm still obsessed with Maleficent, not the Angelina Jolie version.
Uh-oh, you didn't like that one, huh?
Under no circumstances, no.
As a straight man, I was like, this is the lens I look at almost everything Angelina Jolie is involved in. I was like, would it be cool to fuck a lady dressed like that? And it would be.
It would be.
Yeah.
Even I'd get on board.
Yeah.
I could use the horn. But she, you know what's funny? When I saw that movie, I left early because it was so bad. But when I saw that movie, I was sitting next to this girl. And at one point, Angelina Jolie's character, Maleficent, says, "I don't much care for children." And the girl next to me goes, "That's not what we heard." And I was like, we have to go to brunch. So they didn't have any kind of action. But they did have a glass figurine of Maleficent. So I got that in the first grade.
In first grade?
First grade.
Wow.
And then
who gave you that out of curiosity?
My Aunt Cindy.
Cindy, who knew what was up.
Yeah,
there's no way. There's no way you get a first grade boy a Maleficent figurine if you don't know, if you can't read the tea leaves. Your dad's like, "What the hell is this? This is weird. Why'd she give him this? Maybe Cindy's really phoning it in. She must have bought it for a different girl and just ran out of time to
I
get him."
I never thought of it that way.
I mean, come on. You never thought of that?
I did it.
First grade, she got you a crystalline, bitchy woman. She didn't even give you like a hot one that conceivably could be like, well, you know, little boys want to kiss Snow White. It's the bitchy, the most RuPaul's Drag Race character in the Disney universe. She got you that when you're 7 years old. You never put that together. An aging bitter queen. I mean, come on, dude. Not even an action figure. It's a collectible crystal. Damn, that's awesome. Shout out to Cindy. Was Cindy the one in the sketch that I was in?
Yeah.
Oh, I know Cindy, yeah.
If you watch this old man.
IFC.
Yeah, IFC. We did this, I did this show called Janice and Jeffrey with Molly Merkel and Star Wars in one. My Aunt Cindy's in five of the episodes. Yeah. So you just see this Mexican lady in the background.
Yeah, Cindy. Yes.
I did not think of it that
of
way.
Cindy knew what was going on, man.
Cindy did know what was going on. She still knows what's going
on.
Yes. It was that, and then, okay, this is another one. In third grade, I got a Storm action figure.
Hell yes. Truly batting 1,000 for gay. The most gay character a little gay boy would be into.
Well, because every time Storm, you know, like she would summon her powers.
Of course.
It couldn't be everyone. No one else spoke. They were just like Cyclops just shot.
Yep.
Jean Grey just used it. You know, Gambit. But Storm, they're like, "Hey, Storm, could you open the door? I summon the winds of the Arctic cold."
Absolutely.
It was so it just
And also, again, she was the one, because I was a big X-Men head as well.
Same.
That cartoon was awesome. I mean, the guitar riff, the opening theme song is the most, I mean, that was the sickest. They really, it's crazy that in hindsight, what has become so popular, like the fact that it's like Marvel, which was never cool when we were kids. And the Captain America, all that shit was cool.
Although it is on its way out.
It is, but you know cool. what I mean.
But I know,
but
I know
it exactly had a decade run of ruling culture. Whether we want to, whether we like it or not, it was the biggest part of culture, which is insane. Because when we were kids, X-Men, without it, crushed that. And in fact, I think that was maybe the problem, because it was the first ones of those movies before they had really figured it out.
What people always say it was Spider-Man, but no, it was X-Men.
It was X-Men. I mean, the Spider-Man was really good. I mean, because
It wasn't. X-Men made it, took something that sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And made it, at the time you look at it now, it's like watching like someone play Pong, you know, like instead of PSI. But they were on to something.
Well, you know what it is about X-Men is that they should have, like what happened with the Marvel movies, which is everyone got their own movie and then there was a big team up. X-Men needed that mm-hmm. because all these characters were so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And then the team-up movie would have been huge, but it was in an era where it's like, yeah, well, we're going to do the Storm origin story. Like, get out of here.
Right.
All the X-Men, whatever. Anyway, whatever. But
well, Storm also, like, Halle Berry, as much as I love her, was not
the right
Storm.
Energy.
It should have been Angela Bassett.
Dude, okay. What I was just going to say is that it's so funny to pick Storm. That proves that you are a little gay kid. Not that we didn't need it to know that.
I have
we need to
so
prove.
Much. Yeah. The amount of evidence.
Not that
Storm
we need
is
it anymore.
Like number 685.
But Storm, because I was, you know, I was a big X-Men. Storm doesn't really do it for a little straight boy because she doesn't have that, like, there's no flirtatious. Like, there's no, like, sexual, like, there's no bimbo energy that some of the, like Rogue.
Was,
I mean, Rogue.
Basically humping
Rogue
everyone.
Was out of control. But even, like, Jean Grey, even though she was, like, uptight, it was like that, you still, it was like that uptight girl that you wanted. To, there was,
but
like.
There was also the idea of, like, the ultimate, like, male fantasy of what femininity is that, like, she's weak and needs to be rescued. Like,
right.
She kept being, like, Scott, and she would fall.
Right,
like,
right,
you know,
right.
And so there was.
She was bisexual. She wasn't gay.
Jean Grey.
Jean Grey. She feels like a bi girl to me. Although maybe that's Rogue. Now that I think about it.
No. Rogue is straight.
Just straight.
Jean Grey is. And by the way, when I say that, I'm saying that's the man
right.
who wrote that character. I'm not saying that's what it actually is. But Storm, you're right. Storm didn't
Storm
give off.
Storm had none of that. She was like so about her business. Such a like. She was a boss. In like that's somebody you took orders from, which I thought she was sick. I thought she was cool, but I didn't think of her the same way I would like the other characters that I was like, ooh, she's hot. Or even like,
well, she was underrated. She controls the goddamn weather.
They
treated her like she was, I don't know,
right.
just like a like an extra or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, Wolverine, it's enough.
Yes, very good point, Mateo. Just give me one second here. I wanted to remind our beautiful listeners at home that Fat Rascal is out right now on Netflix. If you haven't watched it. Christmas Day, around with the family, now's the perfect opportunity. And hey, if you didn't get a gift in time, these will ship pretty quick. The Stavi Baby 2024 official calendar. It's a beauty. You're going to love it. Wait a second. Your friend's a sports fan that you didn't get a present for? Maybe a Baltimore sports fan? Or maybe they just like front-facing caricature videos of regional idiots. Well, then here we go. We have... That's right, the Ronnie shirt. Okay, we've got a little merchandise, a lot of great options for you. So watch the special, buy a calendar, buy a t-shirt. Hey, Mateo, that goes for you too. I'm sorry, I interrupted you though. Yeah.
Controversial statement. I'm over it. It's enough.
Yeah,
it's 100 movies with him. Everything has to be about Wolverine and his dumb, stupid origin story. It's so stupid.
But do you know why though? It's because Hugh Jackman just was the best. It's such a nice pairing of like he got everything out of that character, whereas like
but even before him, like the comics, it's about Wolverine.
Yeah,
the movie
it's
about Wolverine. The,
right.
the cartoon is about Wolverine, and it's like it's enough of Wolverine.
It's
just so.
And he's supposed to be the oldest one, right? Everyone else is supposed to be like a kid, and he's like old as fuck in theory.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to you get your Storm action figure.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
That's about it. Those are the biggest two memories
that
come to
mind.
How old were
you? When did you get Storm?
Third grade. So how old are you in third grade?
Sounds about right. I don't know.
10?
Seven or eight, nine, something like that.
Like
nice.
Fourth grade is four, nine.
And those crushed it. Those were the those Christmas gifts were like.
It couldn't be better.
They were the only. Were they the only even gay adjacent gifts you ever got?
No. My sister got a magic wand that I wanted.
Yeah.
My cousin Megan had ruby red slippers that I wanted.
Yeah,
and
you
know what we did? My brother is very good with technology, even to this day. Mm-hmm. And when I found out there was no Santa Claus, because in first grade, we had this karaoke machine my Aunt Nikki got us, and my brother figured out that he could extend the wire.
Mm.
So he took the wire, hid it, and it went into the living room. We had a tiny, we lived in a really small house, so it was just one hallway he had to put in. So he had the microphone in the living room hidden, and then the speaker came back into our room.
Wow, so you guys bugged the living room? That's incredible, dude. Wow.
So I was in first grade, and I knew there was no Santa Claus.
And you heard your aunt and like parents being like, "Who? What are you getting, Mateo?" And it's like, you know, that kind of, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Damn, dude. Yeah, I'm trying to think the best. I had a lot of duds. Like, I remember asking for, I think, like, it was, like, in Space Jam, you know, was the Space Jam had taken over the world, and I really wanted an autographed Michael Jordan basketball.
Okay, why don't you just ask for the Holy Grail?
Well,
Greek family in Baltimore is going to get their hands on a signed Michael Jordan. I'm from Chicago. I couldn't even fucking get it.
I think it was hinted. I think I wanted some Michael Jordan stuff, right? I think that was just kind of what I wanted.
But it doesn't shock me that a straight person would be less particular in the things and verbalizing of what they wanted. Like, obviously the gay kid's like, here's my list.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there'll be a review.
Yeah. You make sure it's the right stitching on the jacket.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
This, for me, I just wanted some Michael Jordan shit. And I think my father hinted that he was going to get me an autographed ball. And I was like, what the fuck? That's fucking awesome. And then he brought me the ball, and it was like a ball from Costco that like was really shitty, that clearly it was just like printed in the same black that like Wilson or whatever. It was clearly not signed by Michael Jordan. I was just like, this was the big. It's like, look, if that was one of the secondary gifts on a Christmas, that's fine. But that was like the big showstopper. And then, and I got fucked so many times with my dad's techniques. Cause one time he was like, it was two video games. It was Donkey Kong.
Mm.
And it was, I want to say Luigi, the first Luigi's Mansion.
From GameCube?
No, dude, there was a Nintendo. Was it N64?
No, Luigi's Mansion, I'm such a faggot, was a GameCube. which, by the way, video games were big.
Look up Super Nintendo. Well. See if there was a Luigi's Mansion Super. There was some kind of Luigi game for Super Nintendo. I think. Was there some kind of Luigi Super Nintendo game? Mario is missing. Anyway, it was a bullshit game, right? My dad picked two. It was like some kind of bullshit Luigi games. Where is it, Elvis? We got anything for the Nintendo? Super Nintendo? Mario is missing. Could it have literally been that? Am I the right?
Well, Mario is missing.
Huh. Anyway, whatever. I don't. Maybe it was this. No, it was this. Anyway, it was some bullshit like tertiary Mario game, right? Or it was like whatever Donkey Kong was out. And my dad was like, "Hey, which one of these do you think we should get for?" It was my friend. I don't know why I even said this kid's name in particular, but I remember it was the Goose. He was like, "Which one should we get for?" For we'll call him the Goose. I won't say his real name. Which one should we get for the Goose? Donkey Kong or this Mario game? And I looked at it, I was like, fuck the Goose. He gets the bullshit game. That way my dad will get me the good game. And what he was doing, he didn't think that I was going to be a Machiavellian 7-year-old.
Oh.
He was basically asking me which one of these games is better. And I was like, and I so wanted Donkey Kong. And then I just open it up on Christmas and it's that game. And I'm like,
what the fuck? This was supposed to be for him, not me.
Isn't that funny that we still remember this?
I remember
shit?
That to this day. Those two ones where I just look at that, I'm like, the mic, this isn't signed. You told me it was going to be signed. Like, first of all, what the fuck did I care about a signed ball?
What if
I'm
you
a
had
child.
A Michael, what if you had a Michael Jordan signed Maleficent action figure?
That would have been awesome.
Video games were huge. I remember in first grade, my dad was really sick. He had a disease called vasculitis, and he was in the hospital ICU for months. I mean, it was rough. We all said our goodbyes to him, the whole thing.
Holy shit.
So that, my mom was so, like, destroyed. We had that Christmas at my cousin's house who lived next door, and it was all of us there, and so my aunt and Uncle Mike did all the gifts for us, but my cousin Michael got Super Nintendo, and I mean, the most fun memories I have as a kid is sitting around my cousin's TV with all my cousins watching my cousin Michael play Super Metroid. We watched Doom. Remember when Doom came out? We'd sit around the computer, and it was so scary.
Going over, because we didn't have a my parents just didn't even know the concept of, actually, eldest did have a computer. I will give his even more immigrant than mine parents credit. They had a computer very early on, but there was like a older family friend who's like, you know, he's probably like 8 years older than me, whatever. Like now he just feels like my friend, but back then it was like, that was a huge, he's in high school when I'm fucking 8 years old. And so he had a computer, he knew the and all that shit, and we would go over there and watch him play Doom, and I'd be like, ah! I would just be too scared to even do shit. He's the first person who showed me, like, all these Nintendo games, all the, like, Metroid.
Playing Pokemon was huge, like getting a Game Boy Color.
Pokemon was big.
We sound so old, like,
I know. I will say that the best presents came from my dad. My dad was just a very spur-of-the-moment guy, and he also, like, He 90% of the time he had no money whatsoever, but he was a contractor. So when a big job was finished, he was flush with cash, and he's so bad with money that. But like when he finished a big job, I remember being pumped because he would take us to fucking Costco or the mall or whatever. And that's what, like, all my best gifts from my father happened when he finished putting in, like, mahogany cabinets. Right. They were never my birthday or Christmas. It was always some random day in June where he's like, want to go to Costco? And then we came back with a Nintendo, like, bundle pack. And it was like, yeah, this day rules, dude. So I guess the Christmases were never, they never really knocked it out of the park on Christmas for whatever reason. I mean,
Christmas,
I don't know,
to me was more about my cousins. We go to my Nana's house, and it's like, everyone gets there at 3, and there's like 50 of us, and the kids downstairs screaming, the parents up. I mean, it's just chaos. Yeah. Like, those are my good memories. And I remember now thinking about it, like, my mom and all my aunts and uncles would line all the kids up on the couch. So there's like 20 of us on the couch, and they're all trying to take pictures of us, and there's just everyone screaming at each other. I just thought it was normal. And then you exchange, like, stories on the playground, and none of them match up.
Yeah. I mean, most of our shit was pretty. Everyone in Greektown pretty much had the same trashy shit. Alex, what did you do for Christmas and shit?
You're Albanian, right?
I'm Albanian. Yeah. We just did normal, like, you know, gather around the tree, open presents. My family, it was always very much like, you know, me and my sister just kind of knew what we were getting, and we would still wrap them up, but we kind of like tell our parents or just like make them buy it at the store, and then we'd wrap it up and like open it up around the Christmas tree.
Oh, wow. They had no concept of Santa Claus?
No, we just really...
Wow, Albanian, you godless communists.
I know.
They're one country away from both of us, and you're normal.
It was weird. Like, my family...
Yeah, they really are the buffer zone between Italy and Greece. That's so funny. Yeah. It goes fucking Greece, Albania, Italy. We've got We've got a whole chunk of the Balkan here.
Yeah, for real. But my family, we just... We never did, like, surprise gifts. So I always feel, like, a lot of pressure when I have to, like, shop for shit my wife.
That makes
for, like,
so much
people
sense.
People outside of my family, because, like...
This fucking guy, when it's his wife's birthday, we'll talk about it for 3 months before. He'll be like, what the fuck? And he always get her bullshit. He'll always be like, a gift card and a shirt. He'll always blow it. Or he'll go way too hard. It's like, laptop. You know, it's either like they'll drop the nuclear bomb or he'll, you've had a couple good ones.
You got to pay the premium when you wait last minute. Yeah, so it's like when you're down on time, like if you're getting stuff from Amazon or something, it's got to be something fucking
sick. I'm at the point in my life where I'm not good at accepting gifts or giving. I don't know. I'm more of a like, let's have dinner with each other. I'll pay for dinner, and then we can connect with each other. The buying a gift, like, I never think, like, oh, yeah, I have to get people. But, like, Lisa Traeger's good at that. Mm-hmm. She always thinks of, like, I got gifts. I thought about getting gifts. I have this, and I thought of my... And I thought, I never think of it. I don't know what it's like a block with me. But, like, for me, like, my husband's, his birthday is going to be in the beginning of January. I'm like, I'm planning on, like, a nice dinner. Because I don't know what to get. Well, anal. But, I mean, I don't know what else to, like...
Well, that's it for me. What the fuck? You can't get the man the same gift every day, Mateo.
We can. It's called re-gifting.
Hey, you got this for a bunch of other guys, didn't you? You gave this gift to hundreds of other men before me.
Happy birthday. No, wait, did you guys listen to Christmas? So Christmas music, to me, I've already started, by the way. I don't give a shit about Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving was always my dad's side of the family, which I like, but they were...
They're Italian? Dad's Mexican?
No, my mom's Italian-Mexican. Mom's Italian. My dad's family is just...
Just honkies.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, they're the nicest people, but they're complete strangers. I mean, the food was different. Everything felt so stale, and I just was so uncomfortable.
I like an ethnic holiday because... Typically in America, what you'll get is you will just have the whatever the American meal is, but then you just also have a full other meal on top of it. We had the same thing where it was like, if for Thanksgiving, always a whole, like a lamb, always a side of lamb. I and love like Greeks. It was never, because we weren't poultry people. Nobody in my family really liked turkey. And so when we'd go, we had like our family friends would have Thanksgiving, they'd bring the turkey, and we would just bring an entire rack of lamb. And I still, to this day, well, me and my brothers do, we do Thanksgiving, a Korean barbecue, but when we do Christmas, we're still not a big poultry family, and I will make, when we do it, I'll make a big steak roast.
Okay, I would prefer a rib roast. Over chicken.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. What, did you listen to Christmas? Like, to me, Christmas music, I love Christmas music. Yeah. I mean, Carpenter's Christmas album, Mariah Carey's Christmas album, mm-hmm. Kelly Clarkson's got a good one, very underrated. She's got a great Christmas album, throwing it out there.
All right.
But, like, did you ever listen to Christmas music or, like...
I don't think so, really. I don't know. We were never big Christmas... Like, I'm trying to think about this. Not really. I just feel like... I don't know that there was that much Christmas cheer in my family, to be honest with you. And also, Greek people have this weird thing where we really cared about Christmas, but actually in Greece, New Year's was when you got your presents.
Oh, interesting.
So, Santa Claus came on New Year's. So my parents tried when we were little until we were like 8 or something to do New Year's.
Struggling to figure out.
They really tried to force New Year's on us, and we were like, you brought us to America, you motherfuckers. Give me my fucking presents on Christmas. Enough with this bullshit. I just think my dad never really connected, and my mom, I think, was just so overworked, you know, that it was just like, I don't know. I don't honestly have the fondest Christmas memories. Mm. What I think of as awesome is the first knock out of the park Christmas didn't come till pretty later, which is, I think I was in 9th grade. Whatever year the GameCube came out.
It would have been 2000.
Was it? No.
Yeah, 2000 or 2001.
When did the game... Look that up. Because
it was when Mariah Carey's Charm Bracelet album came out. So maybe even 2002.
GameCube release date.
Let's see how much my memory serves me. Oh, 2001. I was right.
In Japan, 2001. So it probably came from North America.
2001 in November.
Yeah. Was it 2000? Yeah. 2001? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because the next year, yeah.
So 2001, I was in 6th grade. Oh, so I was in 6th grade and my brothers were in 4th grade. Because we got a GameCube. And that, okay. All right, so I was younger than I thought. All right. That was the first just like sick Christmas.
Yeah.
We get the GameCube. Me and my brothers are playing Madden. We're playing Star Fox. Like, I just remember that thing bonding my brothers and me together.
They do,
in a way that, like, we would take turns. We're all trying to help each other. Then we get FIFA. We play each other. It was like, to me, Christmas is just like, wake up early as fuck, get your presents. You kind of have to, like, there's no, Thanksgiving was always the, like, you have to do shit holiday. And Christmas was like, you gave me my presents. Thank you for all this food. I will eat it very fast and not around you. And then I will go upstairs with my brothers and we will play GameCube until 4 a.m.
But that,
and it was just the best. It was the fucking best.
They don't give video games enough credits that it's, people do look at, even today, as like sort of a waste of time. But it like, it is a way that men can bond with each other in a way that you can't in other ways. I mean, it's like, I play a lot of Fortnite, and it's, I'm playing with all these straight people. And then my friend Nick, who's, by the way, at my Carnegie Hall show, he goes, how do you like my outfit? I said, you dressed as Barbra Streisand, the third album. And but they say that men can talk, but like, for example, if you're going to have a talk with like your husband or something, right? And if you do face-to-face, it's almost viewed as... an intimidation.
Confrontational,
you have to go on a walk and then not make eye contact. And a lot, it actually allows men for some reason to open up more. Video games do the
same
thing.
That checks out.
You get on, I get on with all these guys and we're playing video games. And in Fortnite, it's like there's a long time of like collecting and looting. So you have a lot of time to chat.
A lot of downtime.
Yeah. And that's how you bond. And it's totally a great way to bond.
No, some of the best bonding came on like two player games where it was like, you know,
co-op,
where you're just like, playing Halo co-op when we transitioned to Xbox.
You didn't play Perfect Dark, did you?
Played Perfect Dark.
Okay, it was the predecessor to James, the 007 on N64.
Ooh, that we played the fuck out of.
It's the same company, same game, but just like better.
Yeah.
And you could play co-op. My cousin Brian and I would play, like you said, till 4 o'clock in the morning. Didn't stop.
Oh, and then we played there was a weird James Bond game on GameCube where you were like Sean Connery. You were all the different James Bonds.
Oh yeah, it was like there was a failed Rare.
But we loved it. We loved it.
Really?
Me and my brothers loved that game.
Because Rare, the company that made like Banjo-Kazooie, James 007 GoldenEye, you know, all those great games that, you know, they lost the rights to James Bond, I think to like EA Sports or
something. Yeah, it was something like that.
Bullshit
some
company. And so they tried to bring that back on GameCube and like other systems, and it never worked.
It never worked, but I'll tell you, at the fucking in Southeast Baltimore for the Halkus boys, in the room with a bunk bed and one other little bed in it, we were fucking cruising.
My brother and I were in a room with a bunk bed.
Yeah, it was my two brothers in a bunk bed, in a red metal bunk bed, which we cracked my brother George's skull on once wrestling. We were wrestling, and then we fucking... He just hit his head, and he was like, is it okay? And he was like, blood was streaming. It was fucked up. He still has a little mark. I have to, he has a little mark. But yeah, I had a twin bed in the corner, and that was how we lived until I was in like 10th grade, and I demanded. And by the way, we just had an extra room the whole time. We had an extra room that my dad didn't feel like cleaning out the entire time. We
had one. You don't know to say, like, I should have this room.
Totally. It took until I was, like, not an adult, but, you know, when you're, like, 14, whatever, you're starting to get some, like, adult ideas. And I'm like, where the fuck am I? And let's be honest, we're all starting to beat off. And it's like, I'm like, I need some personal beat off space. Enough having to plan every single beat of my life. I need to relax.
It's horrible to do in the shower.
You know how much bathroom jacking off I did? Pretending to read Greek magazines that had titties in them sometimes. I'm like, I'm reading Greek. You should be happy. It's like, that's the only time you're ever reading Greek stuff. It's when you're in the bathroom shitting for a very long time.
My brother and I shared a room until I was like, until he was, same with him. He's like, I gotta have some freedom. So they, because our house was so small, we had my sister in her room, my brother and I in one room, my parents in a room and a bathroom. And we had a like a den kind of area. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we converted that into a room for my brother. So my brother could have some, you know, because it was just too much.
Of course.
And then he ended up moving out of the house at 18 anyway. So that went back to like the computer
room.
Back to
the den.
I have my own space.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Too much. Everybody on top of each other. We've talked about it before, but Eldest was even worse. Although you were in the burbs pretty fast.
We moved to fifth grade.
Did you feel like a king when you got your own room in the burbs? How did you feel?
I remember being like, I was happy about it, but I was like a little salty because my sister's room was so much bigger. She's like 5 years older than me, so I was like, damn, I want the big ass room.
Jesus, fucking size queen. Yeah. Fifth grade, moves his own goddamn room.
But he is a large oaf, to his credit. He is a giant man.
You were this size in third grade.
He was pretty big. You
know, I think I legit hit my like crazy spurt in like middle school. No, yeah. Not middle school. Well, between
was it an
fourth
advantage
and sixth
to be
grade.
Tall in middle school? I don't no. like. It wasn't. It's not an advantage to be anything but a rich kid in middle school, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Don't you notice? Like, I look back now, I'm like, the kids that were popular, you look back now, you're like, oh, they were just rich.
Yeah, they just had nicer stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't.
They believed in themselves.
Well, they were. They had parents that were kind of assholes.
Yeah,
you know
they
what
told
I mean?
Them, you're the best. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It could have been an advantage.
It could have been, but
in high school,
I did not
wield
it strategically.
For you, useless. There's never been a man who's used his height less than you in the history of the world.
I should have played fucking basketball.
You could be a 5'3 man, and your life really doesn't change that much. Maybe your wife wouldn't have matched you on a dating app. That's the only difference.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So thank God, I guess you are this tall because you couldn't handle. You couldn't swim in these waters, Elders.
I need the height. I need the height.
You need it, but you've never used it. No one has ever utilized it less.
When you got it, you don't need to. I feel like when you're, I feel like when you're tall, like you need to be like more under the radar because you're already so like
that's what
imposing.
You think.
So like
that's what you think, but everyone's
like
jealous. I remember being jealous. I wanted so badly to be tall.
It's so funny, I never in my, like, I'm not even kidding, this is going to sound like I'm making this up. 3 years ago is when I realized I'm short. Like, you guys, it sounds like I'm lying, but I never in my life thought I was short. It's crazy. And me and him have been, like.
How tall are you? 5?
I'm 5'7".
But that's not short. How tall are you?
Like 6'5".
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, it's like. I'm not, I've said this before and people think I'm kidding. Our friend who's 6 feet tall, in my head, we're the same height. Eldest is like 3 inches taller than me. Like in my head. Like in my head, I'm like.
But in my head, we're the same height.
I know, that's what I mean. It's like, if anybody's like 5'10 or under, I'm the same height as them. You know what I mean? But what I was blessed to not have that. Like, I never thought about being tall in my
life. God was like, we're not giving you any confidence. So,
yeah.
And same with me. I was just, it was never, I had one eyebrow.
Yeah.
I was so skinny.
Yes.
Like, horrible. Like, you know, and then
the picture of you as a little kid are so funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I used to have like really parted hair. You know, that was like the look.
Yeah.
But then because I was gay, I did like an extra.
Oh, a little
extra. I was ridiculed for it. And every time I was called faggot, I look back now, I'm like, they weren't wrong. I mean, they obviously saw something.
They picked up on something.
I remember a kid making fun of me because I was in seventh grade. I was in German class, and I didn't have armpit hair yet. Like, I was a late bloomer.
Oh, wow.
And that was, like, a focus of everyone's conversation. I was like, what in the world? What do you want me to do?
Of course. But you'll get made fun of for anything.
Believe you me, they did not know about my Maleficent action figure. No one was to know about my Maleficent action figure.
No one could know.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
But I loved Pokemon. I loved all that stuff. Like, Christmas was like all the nerdy stuff. I guess I'm more nerdy than I thought. This year I'm excited because now I'm married, so I get to have a Christmas
with
someone
else. Yeah, by the way,
else.
Congratulations. And also, when did I feel like I talked to you? I got a text not even from you. I got a text from Liz. I got a text from the manager of the
that
comedy store
right.
That was like, Mateo's getting married this weekend. Can you come by? And I was like, I'm on the road for 1 month. I would love to, but I can't. And I was like, it's like hilarious to get that text and be like, okay, sick. Congrats. That's awesome. But it was like, I feel like you were married one day.
Yep. I mean, I wish I could be like, no, well, we actually, yep, that's
Cause,
right.
Because I feel like the last time you were on the pod and the last time we really talked about. You were kind of in a little bit of a little sad boy phase, a little bit of like a.
I'm still in, you know, a sad boy phase.
Yeah.
That didn't change.
But you were in like a, you know, when am I going to find the right guy? You know what I mean? It didn't feel like it. So are we talking like a whirlwind romance? What happened here?
Yeah, I started talking to him in February, and it's crazy that it's going to be a year.
Yeah.
That is kind of crazy to think about it. But anyway. He did one of these, like, you know, these like sort of softcore porn things that Insta influencers do where they're like, get ready in the day with me.
Oh, and it's my God. Dude, girls will be like, outfit of the day. And then they just turn their back to the camera, take their bra off. You can see the sides of their breasts. And it's like, this is sick. I like this, but there's no way this is necessary to see your outfit. Nope. It's fucking insane how they'll do that shit. Yep.
And when I saw his breasts, I saw him. I knew he had a nice butt, and he was so cute. And so I followed him. And then everyone's like, "Who messaged you first?" I was like, obviously, I messaged him first. I'm so desperate. There's nothing about me is cool. He didn't even know who I was. He didn't know I was a comedian until after like weeks and weeks of talking.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it turned into like FaceTiming, and then it was, you know, just like how it usually goes.
Sure.
But then the thing is, like, when you meet someone, then it can shift quickly.
Sure.
So he's like, I want to come to New York. And I was like, such a comedian. I'm like, well, come for 2 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just come for the weekend, you know, 6-hour flight from Mexico.
Yeah.
And then he landed, and I saw him, and then the second I saw him, it was so strange. It was really, it was kind of like a, I don't believe in psychic stuff, but it was a little bit of a premonition. The first thought I had was like, oh, this man will be in my life for a long time.
Wow.
And it just clicked. It just worked.
That's
and it got to a point where it's like, we just wanted to have a life together.
Congrats, so man. That's awesome.
Thanks. So now I'm a married old bitch.
That's great. That's honestly, who are we kidding? That was your destiny the whole time. You were put on this when you were a little gay child polishing Maleficent. You were meant to be a married old bitch.
I became what I worshipped. You know, it's funny. I would break it because I would use it to play, and then it would obviously glass, so it breaks. So my aunt or my mom had to keep like. Super gluing on her horn or this
hilarious.
And that. Yeah. I fucking, can you look up Maleficent glass figurine from the 90s? Because I fuck, it's all coming back, all coming back to me. There, the vintage Disney Japan, the price drop one and the one next to it.
Well, let's buy one from Mateo.
To the right. One to the right. That one. That's it. That's what it was. Should I buy that? Oh my God.
You really should.
Yeah, that was it with the back. Oh my God.
That's it, dude. Oh, I love
that. That's what my Aunt Cindy bought me. Modern. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, that was it. Oh my God. I should really buy
myself
one.
You should buy this. You should buy this. Are you kidding me? You have to.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so jealous of these fucking little kids today, is like there's Maleficent anything you want.
Right. You had to make do.
This was all we had back then. So for all the gay kids out there who want a Maleficent, you get this or it's nothing.
Or it's not shit.
My cousin Brian is also gay. We used to play magic. And what that means is we were like Sailor Moon characters, had magic wands and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember the best thing, this goes to show how much money we didn't have. The best gift we ever got, my Uncle Mike took, there was like, he took like a plastic bar, snapped it in half, and duct taped tennis balls to the top of it. So it looked sort of like Maleficent.
Her wand.
There's nothing. The scepter from the goddamn Queen of England was not as good as that.
Yeah.
We loved those fucking
Spells at each other.
Spells at each other. I loved Captain Planet because of the rings. I mean, that was another good favorite go-to. But yeah, Christmas, it'll be nice. We're going to decorate my apartment.
Yeah, this is your first Christmas as a
And he's never seen snow.
Oh,
he's from Mexico. He's like,
that's awesome.
And it keeps getting colder, and he keeps thinking he can just wear a sweater. I'm like, you have to get a winter jacket.
It's
fine. I'll be fine, amore. I'm like, no. I'm like, it's going to get cold. I'm so excited to see snow. We watched The Princess Switch last night just to make fun of it, like me and my friends. And the only person who was fully invested was my husband. We're like, she's an idiot. This is so stupid. How gay is like, no, will she fall in love with him? We watched Insidious because I was like, well, we should watch like Halloween movies.
Yes.
And stuff. So I love Insidious. It's just very straightforward, like nice spook effects and stuff, like jump scares and stuff.
So we watched him, of course, about possession. And then he was so scared. And I was laughing. He's like, don't laugh at me. This is real in Mexico. And I was like, amore.
We still have witchcraft in Mexico.
I turned all the lights off and went to bed. And he went to the bathroom. He's like, amore. I'm like, the bed's right here. He ran to the bed. He was so scared. But he's a great, great husband.
That's awesome.
And he, you know, I love him. I am absolutely in love with him. And he came from entertainment. I mean, he used to be on Broadway in Mexico, and so he gets the life we live. Like,
right.
He's not offended if I say I have to do this, or especially because comics, we need time alone.
Totally,
that's a huge thing that I didn't realize I need. Like, I just need to sit alone and do nothing.
Yeah,
let my mind wander. I recharge by doing nothing.
I'm with you, brother.
And he gets it. He's like, fine, I'll go keep myself busy. He's not like dependent on me, and it's great. It's a great relationship,
that's
and he's
beautiful.
Fucking. Gorgeous.
Hell yeah.
He is hot as hell. I saw that picture you posted. I was like, God damn. That's a piece of ass right there.
That's important.
It's
that's
insane.
Important.
It's
gotta
insane.
Have a piece of ass in your life.
Yeah,
I fully believe that.
Yeah.
Respect.
So, Rodrigo. So I'm gonna have Christmas with him. He's gonna come. He already met all my family when I did the Chicago theater, so he met all 800 of them.
Are you getting you said you're not a big gift giver. Do you have anything in mind for Rodrigo?
Angel.
Even for Christmas too. All right.
Lucky locker is a thing to say when you get anal on this day. That's the island greeting. Bing Crosby. I can't believe he just took America by storm. My favorite Christmas movie is White Christmas because the writing is so. There, no one's saying anything. They're words. They're English words.
Yes.
Nothing connects.
None
no one's speaking
matters.
To each other. Bing Crosby is in his early hundreds and he's trying to pretend to be like a 21-year-old soldier in World War II. Oh, Stavros,
White
you've
Christmas.
Got to watch
okay.
White Christmas starring Danny Kaye. Gay as
oh,
a picnic
Danny Kaye.
Basket.
Yes, that guy's hilarious.
And then Rosemary Clooney. Yeah, there it is, Bing Crosby. Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
I am a Christmas movie guy.
This is it's the number one Christmas movie of all time.
I'll watch it. I'm a Christmas Vacation guy, obviously. That's my...
Those movies remind... It's like George Costanza as a movie. It's so stressful.
Yeah, it is stressful.
So stressful.
It is stressful, but
But I love Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
She's incredible
in
it.
She's incredible.
And I don't... Do they show Beverly D'Angelo's tits in that one, too? Or was it just the first...
No, that was the first one at the pool.
Just the regular Vacation?
Yeah.
She has a pair on her. What a... Wow, Beverly D'Angelo, what a legend.
Well, Vera Allen, who plays the dancer in this movie, I read in my, this is how gay I am, the musical theater history class I took in art school.
Gay multiplier. Art school. Musical history class.
Super Saiyan. She was so thin that they covered her neck in every scene.
Wow.
And when you watch the movie, it's quite frightening. Like, you know, like...
She's like skeleton. She had an eating disorder, probably.
Probably. Maybe back then, none of that stuff was talked about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you can see what they did to, like, you know... But she's a phenomenal dancer. I mean, like, her dancing was unbelievable.
What year is it from?
1953, 1954?
Yeah, there is something really interesting about watching these movies from even, like, the 30s to the 50s, where it's like, it really is... It's almost like they haven't fully made the transition to the art form being completely separated from live performance.
Right.
Where it's like there are elements of, I mean, the Danny Kaye movies, he's kind of like doing stand-up comedy in the middle of a movie.
Yeah.
And it's like they have audiences for stuff and then these big show pieces. And
it's literally this movie.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out because I'm fascinated by those where it's like, yeah, these people are just like, they haven't figured out film as its own thing yet. And that probably comes in the 70s, all that kind of shit. But like,
yeah, it was just an adaptation of vaudeville, Broadway, live shows.
Yeah.
There's always dance breaks. But I guess without CGI and Marvel, tap dance is the next best thing.
It was cool. I mean, I really like what I got into, and I probably, when I have a little time off, we'll get back. Now in the holidays, I'm in the middle of my fucking time off. My vacation has started. Fat Rascal, the special is out. I hope you've already seen it multiple times. Hopefully it's trending on Netflix.
And the Advice Special Part 2 is out.
And the Advice Special Part 2,
watch
of course,
it.
We'll put that. We'll put all this stuff in the beginning, and we'll post a clip on the Instagram page.
I wish we had a budget to make our own 1950s Christmas movie,
dude. We can do it.
Do you think so? And we sing songs. There's dance breaks.
Absolutely.
Like
that would be awesome.
What's
dude.
The plot?
oh, this is good. This is first of all, we can absolutely get a movie made.
You think so?
We absolutely can get a movie made. 100%.
You think Netflix? They won't give me a special, but they'll give me a Christmas movie.
Maybe it's Stavi Baby Enterprises is the financier, but we will get a fucking a movie made. That's a great idea. Holy
shit! And I
want
to sing like Bing Crosby. You know, because he had that very deep bass voice, like. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. He beat the shit out of his kids.
He was too. He beat a lot of, I think, wives and kids. Let's think about this. All right, you ready for a plot?
Yep.
You have a beautiful angelic family. You and you're married, your husband, you know, you guys have an adopted kid running around, whatever. Maybe I'm your cousin, maybe I'm your brother. I'm freshly divorced. My wife kicks me out of the house. Maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm a little homophobic. I haven't really like figured it my shit out yet.
But what about the movie? That's a dumb joke.
I get kicked out of my house and I'm a Grinch. I hate the holidays, you know. The power, just being around you guys, you know, we have like I'm picking my niece up from ice skating.
And we just use music from other Christmas movies, so in your life when we show you, it's just, you're a mean one, yeah. Mr. Grinch.
I love, dude, that's a, yeah, and then we, maybe I find a little love, you know, I don't know,
this just sounds like your coming out story. Yeah.
Well, it would be with a woman, in my idea. But, you know, that's one way we could go with it.
I think that's it.
Okay.
That's the movie. Very Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck for sure. Yes, so good. Yes, yes.
My favorite, do you have a favorite Christmas song?
I mean, maybe it's recency bias, but I mean, Mariah Carey's.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the one that I crush the most. Like, that's, you know, I really like, that's like a, and it's crazy to think about, she just wrote that. That just didn't exist.
On a Casio keyboard.
It just didn't exist, and it feels like it's been around for 100 years.
Yep.
Maybe I'm a basic bitch, but I think that's my favorite. That's my favorite one.
They played that once at Pride when I used to go out. We were at a gay bar, and it's like everyone's wasted. Yeah. That's ultimate camp. Because we were all at this bar, and it's like gay shit, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like. Ding, 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 ding. And I mean, you would have thought Jesus had come back
to bring everyone to salvation because
the gays were just flying everywhere. As Kathy Griffin said, it looked like The Who in Cincinnati. Just like, it was insane. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That, my favorite Christmas song is from Home Alone, the Somewhere in My Memory. Like,
give us a little more. Give us a. Yes, that is a.
Or The First Noel. He's a great singer, Clay Aiken, but it's so hard to listen to him when he sings Christmas music because it's just so, it's the perfect combination of Christian and gay.
Yes.
Because when he sings Joy to the World, it's Joy to the World. Like, it's just so, like, mm-hmm. it's like if Michael's Arts and Crafts made an album. It's like, I just love The First Noel. That's a great song. The First
Give us a little bit of
Noel.
It.
Oh, so
that's
good.
Beautiful. God, give us sing us a little something for the Stavi's World first annual Mateo Sings Christmas special. We'll do it. Next year we'll really do it up even bigger.
Yeah,
somebody in a piano with a piano. Elvis will be wearing a tuxedo.
What's a good Christmas song that I can sing?
What's something good to get the, you know, imagine our listeners, they're hiding from their families. They're going on a walk. Why would they be listening to a podcast on Christmas? They must really not like who they're around. So they want a little reprieve, something to really give them a pep in their step.
I was like, all I can think of is Silent Night.
Yeah, no, we don't want them to kill themselves. They realize that they can't save their marriage. No presents will make up for the fact they were absent the first 10 years
Mariah
of their children's
Carey's
lives.
Version of Santa Claus is coming to
town. Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a great one. Mm-hmm. Even the Michael Jackson, like, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, the classic. That's a classic.
So Stevie Wonder is so good.
Yep.
Ding, 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 ding. How does that go?
Christmas all alone. Candles. I don't know the words. Oh, or Patti LaBelle. Where are my backup singers?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's a classic
clip. This Christmas. I don't know the cue cards. Give me the words. That's also a Christmas tradition is Patti LaBelle.
Classic. Fucking the words up. Yeah, dude. Well, Eldest, do we have any Christmas questions here? What do you think?
No.
Oh, the one last thing. What we make something for Christmas that's Greek origins. It's a Naples dish from Napoli. Okay. It's called struffoli.
Struffoli.
And it's fried balls in honey with sprinkles.
Yes.
But well, I think it's Greek origin.
Yes. Lucumades is what Greek
people
call it.
Lucumades?
Lucumades, yeah.
Can I see what lucumades looks like in struffoli? Because I'm sure it's the same thing. Lucumades. Yeah.
Yep.
It looks so, that's like almost it. Look up struffoli. Struffoli.
Struffoli.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's the exact same thing.
You guys just added sprinkles.
That's the most copy the homework, but change a little something. Change one answer. You guys stole our shit so completely.
Well, look.
And then put a couple little gay sprinkles on there.
Struffoli, known as honey balls, is a Napolitano dish made of deep fried balls of sweet dough. The dough is blah, blah, blah. For the struffoli, the dough. Wait, can we go to Wikipedia to see what the origin is? And then we could,
Course.
We'll be done with this.
No. This is good. Eldest, it was right on the side, you fucking dunce. A smaller dish is described by Archestratus.
Oh, by a Greek poet.
A Greek poet from Gela in Sicily. It is called Enkris. Egris? I've never heard it. A dough ball fried in olive oil, which is detailed in Gastronomy, a work now lost, but partially preserved. All right, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Oh my God, all this shit. These are cake, also known as...
The name struffoli originates from the Greek word strongylos, which means rounded.
Really?
Interesting. Well, then why the fuck do we call ours lucumia? Look up lucumades and see what the fuck the Wikipedia has to say. Because strongylos, I gotta be honest, lucma. Yeah, go there. Lucma, who the fuck calls it? Originated in Egypt. What the fuck is this? Are you fucking kidding me? Italians steal ours and you're going to fucking tell us we stole our shit from Egypt?
It's all next to each other.
I guess. Lucma means morsel, mouthful, or bite. The dish was known as Lucmat al-Qadi, or judge's morsels. That's what I call my dick. That's what I call my balls, the judge's morsels, in 13th century Arabic cookery books. And the word lucma or lucma by itself. The Turkish name for the dish lucma is derived from the Arabic, as is the Greek name lucumades. Fuck that. Bullshit.
So controversial.
This is fucking... They've erased us from history. The Italian one gets its own fucking thing, but ours is fucking Egyptian all of a sudden?
Yeah, that I actually am... Why don't even they bring up struffoli?
This is fucking horseshit. Fuck
what,
this.
You know what it's missing?
What's
sprinkles.
That? Yeah. Yeah. You motherfuckers put a couple sprinkles on there. Oh, this is pissing me off. Go down. Was cooked by, keep going. Regional varieties. Let's go to Greece, please. The dish is called lucumades. This is a mainstay of Greek cooking, particularly in the south of Greece. It's popular street food. That's right, it is.
But is it Christmas time? Because struffoli is only done at Christmas time.
We have them all the time.
Oh, they're also Hanukkah treats.
Wow, this is fucking bullshit. As the name of lucumades, the term was also used by Greek Jews, Romaniotes, as the name for lucumades, who call them Sfigi and make them. Sfigi means like Titan. Pontic Greeks who migrated from the Black Sea as a result of the Laosan conference called them Tsirikhta. Interesting.
Exposed.
Fuck you. I don't see a fucking Albanian. What's Albanian dessert, dude?
More sophisticated. Yeah, right.
You dip fucking. You put a little powdered sugar on a fucking. On a cow's udder and then suck the milk out. And that's what you fucking pieces of shit have.
To celebrate this.
Yeah.
Let's see if it
Let's
actually
go.
Shows up. Hold on.
What do we have?
Service might be mid back here.
It's playing.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus. This is some shit karaoke. This is Annie. Oh.
dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know. I beat my children. I get my belt out and let them know who's boss. Where the treetops glisten and children listen, especially my kids, to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
This music is so gay.
I'm dreaming.
I could have been a singing star in the 30s. I was born at the wrong goddamn time.
Wrong time. Thank you. Thank you, Mateo.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. For Christmas, I always celebrate. I have Bob and Robert McCall and Tisha Sterling and Charles Ashtabach and Red Buttons comes over and we have so much fun.
Well, just why don't we go? Well, surely we have some questions, even if they're not Christmas-oriented. You know, the people listening on Christmas, like we said, they're down in the dumps. They need help. They've ignored their family. They're by themselves. And we're your family today, folks. Spend Christmas with
what a family.
Spend Christmas with me, Eldest, and Mateo, the Southern Baltic. The Italian, Albanian, Greek alliance. We're here.
The worst army ever.
Yeah, don't try and get any logistics done. We're not the people for you, but we're here to sing to you. We're here to solve all your problems. So,
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Eldest, let's see what we got here. Interesting.
Job and esteemed guest. So here's the deal. My mother-in-law sucks, and nobody likes her. Nobody gets along with her. The way that my wife's family deals with it is that they just put up with her. They just let her act the way she wants to, and that doesn't work for me. And so I say things or I push back when she does stuff, and it just doesn't really work.
Pause. Well, yeah, thing, I know. We're thinking the same thing.
He needs a Maleficent action figure.
Yeah, maybe your mother-in-law's picking up on a little something in the relationship that doesn't exactly add up. Maybe that's why she doesn't really care for you too much. Interesting. Face-to-face with a strong-willed woman, you just have to throw out a little catty comment. You can't let her get away with it. You have to maybe, I don't know, make fun of her shoes. All right, let's just say you do have a mother-in-law and you are a straight man. We will continue the question.
I honestly think we answered the question.
Let's see what the end has to say, Eldest.
My mother-in-law, she'd go to family counseling with me, and she said yes, and we went, and it was fine. But the counselor said that what really needs to happen is that my wife and my mother-in-law need to go. And now it's been like 8 months and my wife won't go. So what should I do? Should I just drop it? Should I let it, should just keep waiting? Should I ask my wife to go? The three of us, what should I do? Thanks, Bob. I know you have a challenging relationship with your dad, and I hope you can give me some insight about my mother-in-law. Thanks.
Well, I would say if you're the kind of person who has no problem maybe hiding things for years, maybe keeping deep secrets buttoned down.
Not so deep.
Yeah, maybe. I would say just file this under one of those things that you could just let it go and pretend's not there. Pretend you have a good relationship with your mother-in-law.
Here's what you do. No. You get another phone
that no one knows about.
Okay. He's basically, this is, I feel like this is an age old problem of the, like, the you're gonna have to just assume he's straight, Mateo. Mm-hmm. Plenty of men talk gay but aren't.
This is kind of crazy to me. Like, who would like go to therapy with their mother-in-law on their own?
Gays.
Isn't that a little? I mean, isn't that like kind of crazy?
Wait. Did he go with his mother-in-law or with his wife?
Did he?
I thought he went with both.
No. I thought he went with his wife, and the counselor said he has to go.
Well, why is the counselor giving her an ultimatum? That seems like a bad counselor.
Wait, I thought he said...
Yeah, play it again, play it again. Sorry, we were mocking him for his voice. We weren't listening to his question.
It just doesn't really work. Well, here's the thing. I asked my mother-in-law if she'd go to family counseling with me, and she said yes, and we went, and it was fine. But the counselor said that what really needs to happen is that my wife and my mother-in-law need to go. And
interesting.
Now,
okay.
It's been like 8 months, and my wife won't go.
Wow.
What does that mean? That my mother and my wife and mother-in-law need to go? Need to go where?
To family counseling.
I see.
Which does make sense. I mean, what the fuck are you really going to get to the bottom of with your mother-in-law?
The bottom.
Yeah. That's insane. I mean, yeah. This.
May your days be merry.
I'm having a hard time doing the math in my head and this ending up with this.
It's Mateo. Long division. And neither one of us are equipped to answer this question.
Oh, man.
I say we never speak of this again.
This is very interesting, though. Like, the fact that he went with his mother-in-law, he broached the subject in a weird way, right? Like, he kind of called
while
this woman's
brooch.
He called this woman's bluff, and she went with it. And really, his wife is being a coward here. Let's be honest. His wife really is just the coward, and it's like she just doesn't want to face her mom.
I'd like to speak to the mother.
Yeah. Yeah, the mother's like, yeah, I'll go. Oh, counseling? Is that where a professional gets to maybe get us to speak very openly and honestly? Yeah, maybe it's a good idea me and you went without Sarah first. Maybe we can both get some stuff off our chest.
Not just come.
I'm
so sorry. I really was small-minded.
That's okay. That's okay. No. That's what the show. I mean, are you familiar with the show?
The studio audience approves.
Yeah. I mean, what would you do if your wife just wouldn't go to counseling with you know, their awful parents?
I just wish Bobby Kelly said it was him.
Yeah.
I wish he just left his name. Also, now I smell like fucking cigar smoke.
I know.
Bobby Kelly. Though it was months ago.
Yeah, it was months ago. It was on Thanksgiving. But it really lingers, folks, in
he
the
looks
studio.
Amazing, doesn't he?
He does look great.
I love Bobby.
He's the best.
His goatee looks awesome.
He's real. I mean, you can. Let's set the over under for cheating. When you lose 150 pounds and grow a goatee all of a sudden, that's not the facial hair of a man that's not planning on getting side pussy. Yeah, dude, I don't know about this. I mean, it's just like, this isn't your bad. You've sort of already kind of overstepped in a way that, like, if your wife was gonna, look, if you want to tell her to go and you want to encourage her, that's fine. But, like, you've really already done everything you can do. And even kind of calling the mom's bluff, everyone else in this family is kind of a coward. I do think it's probably important for your wife to go. I do think she clearly can't face her mother, and maybe she just needs to take steps to get to that point, whether that's going to therapy and talking about it. Like, what's her situation here?
I will say, a serious answer, I do think when you get married, you are essentially stepping out and starting your own family, and other family members have to respect that they're not going to garner the same amount of attention that they once had before, because your focus is on the family you're trying to start.
Right.
And it does sound like there's a lot of times parents wedge themselves in between their children's relationships because they're egotistical about it. They still want to be the center of that person's life. And it's like, you gotta back off.
right.
Italian women.
Yeah, I mean, you can only do so much, and if your wife doesn't want to face this, dude, you might have to just, like, let it go and maybe gently in the push her towards, you know, figuring it out. But also, on some level, life is kind of short, and it's like, I'm somebody who's trying to figure out all the problems with my family, and I'm trying to get over it, and it's like, it's a lot of fucking work. And at a certain point, I'm going to stop trying. And at a certain point, it's like you kind of have to make do with where it is. It's like, what, I'm going to be going to fucking, I'm going to be 40 years old trying to get, like, trying to make my family admit they've made mistakes. Like, at a certain point,
you
people are who they are, and you have to make the best of it.
My therapist says to me, is like, you know, when I've had issues with family members, he was like, because I say, I want this, I want respect, I want to talk. He's like, that's like asking someone in a wheelchair to stand up. You just have to, this is the way they are. And so you can say to your family, like, this is what I offer. And then that's it. I can't offer anymore because I can't fix you people.
Yeah.
It's, you have to take the responsibility off your shoulders.
So do what you can. You've seen, it seems like you've done enough, and the ball's kind of in your wife's court. And if she doesn't want to do it, then maybe you guys just kind of have to settle in here. And look, most of the world doesn't like their mother-in-law. It feels like a classic trope. You like your mother-in-law?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's nice.
Very nice. Hola.
All right, Eld, hit us with another one.
Hey, Stav, eldest guest. Love you guys. I'm pretty young, got married not too long ago. My wife and I, our relationship's the best it's ever been right now.
Nice.
Getting right to the point, she has a friend, and they're pretty close, and now me and this friend are getting pretty close. The friend's a female. And
come on.
I feel
come
like
on, man. Don't do
if
this.
I try real hard,
God damn it.
I could convince them to, like, have a three-way. I think it'd be great. I'm not quite sure how to go about it exactly. I've tried to Google, like, how to get my wife to agree to a three-way with a friend.
You Googled it.
Not too much there, so wanted to see what you guys had. If you could help me out, would appreciate it a ton. Thanks, fellas.
Goddamn.
Straight man.
It's hilarious. This really is, like,
blow me away.
The relationship's the best it's ever been. I'm the happiest I've ever been.
Now, how do I fuck it up?
Now, how could I lose everything I've everything I've worked for and hold dear?
Because her friend is polite and
because her friend is
jokes.
Just. This is like, man, this waitress wants to fuck me. I think. Wow, can this stripper? Does this stripper want to date me?
Do all straight men assume that people want to fuck them?
It's not that they assume. It's that every time you're around a hot girl, whether you like it or not, there is a little mathematician in your head trying to figure out the equation that leads to you fucking them.
Okay.
You know? And it's like a lot of times you'll be like, sorry, man, we got nothing.
Just a chalkboard. You'll be like, a lot of eraser marks.
You can't get the proof.
I'm sorry, it's just not possible. That's most of the time you have an exasperated little mathematician that's like, you can't fuck this hot woman. You're too fucking fat. Or whatever, right?
There is no mathematician found. It's just an open door.
Yeah, it's a glory hole.
Yeah, yeah.
It's either he puts his dick in or not, and, you know, either way.
I don't think the answering the question here should be about how to figure out how to give him a threesome. The question should be like, is this adding to your life? Because
well, even that, is this even a possibility in any way, shape, or form? Has your wife ever mentioned being bi? Her and her friends ever hooked up? Has your wife ever mentioned possibly when you were dating and you were being freakier and, like, you know, everyone's kind of a little, you know, whatever? Has it ever come up even once in general? That's step
Stavros,
one.
If he's Googling and then leaving you a message. She's not shown him any signs of being bi.
Well, that's what, if there are no signs, if all that's going on here is my wife is friends with a hot girl I'd like to fuck, and you have been like, well, she's nice to me too. Maybe I can fuck both of them. Then you should not pursue this whatsoever. You don't have the sauce. You don't have the juice. That's not how these things work, bro.
Is it less likely for straight guys? Like, if a wife's like, I want a threesome, but with another guy, is that a less likely scenario? Or are there guys who are like, fine, I'll do it?
That's crazy. I would never do that.
Really?
I'm just not interested in that at all. But there are there are people that would.
Not that you have to hook up with them, but he's just sort of there.
I don't
there.
Know. I don't want a guy to fuck my wife. I got to be honest. That's not.
Right.
That's just not. Now.
It's less offensive if it's like a woman with a woman for some reason.
I think. Well, look, if a there are plenty of women who are like.
Men are dangerous.
There are plenty of women who are like, I don't want another woman to fuck my husband, right? There's plenty of women. There's plenty of very straight women that won't do that. But there's a. I just. This is pure anecdotal evidence. It just feels like more women are bi, or at least like bi, or at least maybe there's plenty of men that are have some bi thoughts, but just are so uncomfortable with them that they would never.
I
was going to say,
I think it's more so that women have less hang-ups exactly, about expressing right, themselves right. than straight men do. But I will say, like, I've been in threesomes before, and it's not, I'm not in love with it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work.
Absolutely.
And it's like, to me, like, the trying to please this person and that person and myself, it just is so. The idea of it, sure, it's hot.
Yeah.
But then there's too many hands. Yeah. It's really
it,
not
it can
great.
Go wrong. It's just what it is to me is that like you are you're raising the ceiling of the sexual experience. It could be way better than just one-on-one, but you're also lowering the floor way down.
But I also
it
think
it could go way worse.
A threesome should be with someone that's really not in your life. A threesome should be someone like...
That's a great... We haven't even gotten into that part of this.
Right.
The premise is so ridiculous that we haven't even actually begun breaking down all the ways, even if this was possible, that it would be a mistake. But yes, that's very true. Like, here's the thing, buddy. If your wife was kind of bi or she showed any interest in a threesome or she brought it up ever... You don't start with her fucking best friend.
No,
that's fucking crazy.
Because then she's like, "Oh, so you're looking at my best friend as sexy?"
That's
like,
the thing, dude. You're so out of your depth here. It's insane. This does not end good in any way, shape, or form. Very few people could pull this off, and it would take very specific.
Yeah,
blends
John
of
Stamos
personal.
Can pull this off.
Yeah.
Also, notice the last caller. His problem wasn't with another woman, but it was a mother-in-law.
Yeah. So, dude, I could not. With the information you have given us, I could not. Recommend this less. This is crazy. You're just a horny guy, and this is your life from now on. You will meet women you want to fuck, okay? But you're not going to get to fuck them. You're married. That's how life works. And unless your wife is really into this, and look, here's the thing, even if your wife was really into it, you would have to be very selective and very, like, you would have to take things slow because, like, that can fuck up a relationship. Like, you know, you could really overdo, like, one moment where you're too into the other girl or whatever. It's like, that's so complicated with, like, threesomes, when you're casually having sex can be complicated.
Yeah.
Let alone with your wife and her fucking friend, you fucking idiot. You're so out of your depth here. I would love to talk to this guy. If we could get him on a live show, that would be great.
When are you doing a live show? I want to come.
We do live shows sometimes where they call in on Discord and we actually talk to them.
It's fantastic.
So we'll have you on one day if you want to come back for that.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. We'd love to. So I'd love to talk to this guy, but for right now, dude, this is such insanity. I can't even, like, why you have, and you know what the best part is? The only reason he even has this level of confidence to think he could pull this off is because his wife has built him up. That is the great irony of when men want to cheat. It's like, I know this for myself. Not that I've ever exactly cheated, but when you're like in a casual relationship and a woman is giving you attention, and then you're like, then I'm like, whoa, I'm getting more pussy from other girls now because I believe in myself. And it's, you're just a piece of shit who's taking advantage. You're just converting the energy a woman has put into you. Instead of putting it back in the relationship, you're trying to use it to fuck somebody else.
That's right.
God, I need to talk to this guy. He's so fucking wrong. It's crazy.
I think I can do one more.
Sure.
And then I got a dip.
Yeah, no worries. Okay? Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Stavi and that Albanian prince you got in the back.
That's right.
Man, I've just been going through it lately and figured why not my favorite comedian could probably help me out.
That's right, buddy. But, we're here for you.
Man, just life's been just mad and haven't been feeling like going on dates, but I'm, you know, I want to be with a girl, but I haven't been feeling like putting energy out into, you know, doing all that. And then I have this great job at a, I probably shouldn't say the name, but a big electric car company. And they treat you like a fucking piece of shit there, and we're getting paid less than most of these other places. And I'm wondering, you know,
I must
if I need to
figure
give
out
up the name
what company
of the place
this could possibly be.
Where I'm working
I have an idea, but no, it couldn't be.
Hey, just not work there anymore. Just because I'm working there for a name, it appears now, because I'm making less than all the other guys, but I get to tell everyone, hey, I work at blank, but I don't know, man. Feeling like I should go on a manic episode, quit my job, no. Move to Austin, Texas, or somewhere.
No.
Probably end up doing drugs. I didn't really offer or ask any questions, but what does somebody do when they feel just stuck in life?
I have an answer for this.
When they're great. Fucking tired of their job, and they're tired of where they're living, and they're tired of all this shit. Is it time? Do I bite the brass bullet?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I think he's hinting at committing suicide.
I love you. You're great.
You don't need to do that. He's just, buddy, I love you too. You're just depressed, bro. Everything he's saying, I have felt so many times in my life. You are just down in the dumps, depressed. And I want to tell you, going even lower feels like the right thing to do. You do not want to do it. Because you will have to, you will feel exactly how you feel now, but with all your money gone, maybe an STD and like an addiction. And that you just have to climb out of a, you're basically talking about maybe digging a bigger hole because it feels better to do it really fast.
This is something that I think a lot of people go through when, you know, you realize you've just been playing the game of following the sort of script that life offers you. It's go to school, get a degree, drink with your friends, get a job, work the job, go on dates, da-da-da. And no one in that time has said, what are you interested in doing?
Right.
And I think that people look at, like, comedians or other people who sort of went off the beaten path and took the risk, essentially,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But there are things, like, even if it's, like, if your interests are small, photography, video games, whatever, there is another community out there for you that you can start to actually nourish the things that you enjoy doing in life. I mean, that's all comedy was.
For sure.
It's not that we started doing it and we're like, I'm going to become a star. But it was being involved with a community doing shows, because the only money we were paid back then was the respect of the other comics in the back of the room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was you slowly build yourself up with other people in a community with common interests. It just sounds like he's bored. He doesn't even sound depressed. He sounds bored, but there's got to be something out there that he likes doing. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he sounds depressed as shit, but I think that boredom has something to do with it. I think it's like, I think this is going back to your like straight guys can't talk directly. If we were going on a side-to-side walk, I think he would seem a lot more depressed. He's hiding how depressed he is under the guise of boredom is what it feels like.
Right.
And I'm fully with you though, where it's like, there was so much more to life than work. You know what I mean? Like, and so if you're at this place, right, and you thought, here's kind of what he's up against too. He's working at this prestigious, this prestigious place that has a big name, recognition, whatever. And he thought, I mean, I've felt this too, where it's like, I've accomplished things this year where I'm like, well, when that happens, I'll be happy.
Sure.
And guess what? You're not happy, right? And you have a version of that where you're like, I'm working at this place. Wait, the money's actually not good. They overwork me. And you thought by being involved with that name, you would have some kind of legitimacy, something. You're realizing that's not how life works. And my advice to you would be, fuck that place. Use your qualifications to get a job at a place that pays you a real rate and doesn't overwork you. And then do what Mateo said, which is like, find something that makes you happy, that like, that becomes your reason work is just to sustain yourself. Yeah. You've learned that the hard way. That this dream job that happens to a lot of people, you accomplish what you thought was going to happen, didn't change shit, and in fact made you more. Took joy out of your life. Start living for fucking joy, and you will feel like going on dates, doing other stuff when you feel better. And I think there's a lot, and reinvest in yourself, right? Like, speaking personally, I went through a version of this where I'm so happy with all the success this year. It's been fucking crazy, but I've been overworked and I have not felt good for large stretches of it. And I was going to go on tour for the beginning of next year, and I decided to push everything back so that I could take a lot of time off and work on my own shit, right? Whether that's whether that's spending time with my family more, getting more into my health, which has like been destroyed on the road, all this stuff. I'm taking some time to work on a couple of those things, and then hopefully I think like that'll make me feel better, and that will then just make the rest of my life better too. My work better, like my personal life has been completely on hold while I'm working, all this stuff. And I think focusing on yourself, finding a setup that helps you do that, all these feelings will go away. Shake it up a little bit. New job is a shakeup. If you want to move to a new city, maybe move to a new city. But I think finding something you love, that realizing it won't come from work, and then finding it in an activity that you can, and then community just adds on to that. When you see other people that you like at those things, that, you know, that's a big like kind of happiness, you know, multiplier, whatever. And I think that's really it, dude. You realize like this job is not solving the problems. It's creating a problem. Find a job that sustains you and sustains a hobby and sustains a lifestyle that you like, because you just don't like your lifestyle right now. And I think taking steps to change that, that's the solution. And also it feels good. It feels good when you make those changes and you're just like,
now I respect yourself.
Exactly.
And right now it sounds like you're not respecting yourself, because you know the subtext of all this is everyone's making decisions for me and I feel I have no control of my life, but I feel I'm forced into this situation.
Yeah.
And so extreme situations of I'm going to move here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, it doesn't actually solve anything. And it's like, yeah, like no matter where you're living, like life is still life.
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's like investing in yourself is legitimately the only way out of that hole.
100%. So yeah, dude, you're depressed as hell. Start working on yourself. Leave the job that makes you feel like shit and work for yourself, and you'll be much better off. And even though Eldis knew this was the last question we were going to do and that Mateo had to leave, he decided he couldn't hold his piss 30 more seconds. Oh, and he's laughing in the fucking bathroom. We can hear him. So I guess we're just going to have to vamp. Oh, nice. Get the flush in there, you fucking idiot. We're literally ending the episode right now.
I was going to let it mellow, but...
They call it yellow.
All right, well, Mateo, thank you so much for coming. You gotta run.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Of course. I had so much fun. So good to see you.
It's great to see you. We'll hang way more. We'll put you on a lot... Anytime you want to come on a live show, we'd love to have you.
I will be there.
Enjoy Christmas, everyone. We hope you're having a good time. And we will we'll be back. I think we're planning on doing a our year end live call show will actually be a catch up. We're trying to get people to update us on who we've helped.
Like Shark Tank, Shark Tank updates.
The updates. We're trying to do an episode like that. So hopefully that's coming at you either this week or next week. But either way, Merry Christmas. Hope you're having a wonderful time. Watch Mateo's special, watch my special, and we'll see you next week. Bye bye.
Ciao.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.